Penn State spring football is officially over, and that means the recruiting calendar is always churning, but it's changing from here and there, and we're going to talk about that today on today's show, and also recap spring football, recap the blue-white game, and take a look at a couple of recruiting stories that are in the news, important and otherwise. And the guys who know all the information that are going to give it to you and to me, by the way, on today's show, Ryan Snyder and Sean Fitz, industry insiders for Blue White Illustrated. Ryan, how you doing today?
Doing well, man. Went down to Phil's game last night. Took my boy down there. Had a great time. They won, so that was good. So a little droggy, a little slow this morning, but feeling good.
Fitz, what's going on with you? It's been so long since we've had a conversation.
It has been, you know, we just kind of drifted apart there after those last couple of days, after the four calendar days in a row.
Yeah.
But it's good to be back. It's good to talk recruiting. It's good to recap the blue-white game, which, you know, probably not as exciting as it was in years past. And, that's fine. You know, you talk about the recruiting calendar, you talk about, segment to segment. Time to take the next step to the segment that is the spring evaluation period. So I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit, but that's kind of where we're at with coming off the big weekend.
Yeah, and I mentioned that Fitz and I haven't seen each other in a couple days because not only do we have four shows in 4 days, but during spring football, our football show was on Wednesday, followed by the Thursday recruiting show. Fitz and I do both of those shows, so we've been doing back-to-back shows for all of spring football. But with this change in the calendar, so is our show schedule going to be changing. We're still working out the details. We'll have it to you by the weekend. So stay tuned. You can follow me at Thomas Frank Carr. You can see it on Twitter. That's where we're going to put that out. Also, at bluewhiteillustrated.com, will be on the message board, and I'll be putting that information in articles as we go throughout the weekend. Want to make sure that everyone gets the information so that they can tune in and hang out with us at whatever day we're doing things on at 10 o'clock on YouTube. That's not going to change. 10 a.m. is going to be the start time. It's just going to be when in the week and what's best for you, the listener and the viewer, and what's most appropriate for getting you the information the fastest and in the most relevant time frame. So that is coming up. I wanted to get everybody that on their radar if you're listening to the show or you're watching on replay. If you're here in the chat, always appreciate you. Please subscribe to Blue White Illustrated. It helps us in a bunch of different ways. And if you're here on the video, like the video. YouTube likes to know that this doesn't suck. And we put a lot of effort into this. These guys are very smart. And I would say that this is above that level. This does not suck. What also doesn't suck is that we have a show sponsor. I always appreciate people who support the channel, and that today is My Perfect Franchise. Are you ready to leave the corporate rat race? Do you have skills and expertise that you want to put to work for you and not for somebody else? Check out My Perfect Franchise. Andy Ludeke is a franchise consultant with extensive experience placing people like you with a perfect franchise to manage. We're also running a special on the Blue White Illustrated message board. Last week, we put up the regular show thread, and in it, there's a contest where you can win a 3-month subscription if you guess the correct business that Andy put in into the information. He's running a little contest. If you can guess the type of business he's describing, you can get a 3-month subscription. So check that out. But what he's doing at My Perfect Franchise, he's helping you find a franchise to manage and to help you find the next stage of your life. Contact Andy at 404-973-9901, Andy at myperfectfranchise.net, or again, check out the Blue White Illustrated message board, the Lion's Den. He is a member, and he can get in contact with you there. And just a reminder, his services are 100% free. He's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. So check all that stuff out. But guys, the biggest thing this week for Penn State football fans is another top in-state prospect has announced his top 8. Andrew Olesch is down to 8 schools. Penn State is among them. So we'll get into the names and all those things here in this particular conversation about Andrew. But what stands out to you about this list, Ryan?
Missouri stands out to me, which is interesting just because
I figured that was going to be in there, right?
Now, I think this is a Michigan, Penn State, Alabama top 3. I'm really going on a limb there, right? With those 3 official visits already set and the other ones not being worked in. But I would have said that too before I knew those visits, to be fair. But it makes sense. Those are the first 3 locks in. I could see 2 more getting in there as well. I would lean towards Florida State being one of them at the moment. If I had to pick one, maybe Ole Miss. We'll see. I think that he does seem like he's going to take a Missouri unofficial visit soon. So let's see how that goes. And obviously relationship with Zoller. So let's see where things progress there. But this is a, in my opinion, kind of a gut check recruitment for Penn State. This is a recruitment that 10 years ago, I feel like would be done already. 8 visits in a year, camp twice. Family members went to Penn State, grew up supporting Penn State. Like this is one of those recruitments that, like I said, I mean, many years ago, I think would be done. So
many, you know, the fact that 1 year ago it was done. It was done with Luke Reynolds. I mean,
fair, but Luke Reynolds didn't grow up a Penn State fan. You know what I'm saying? Like there were so many things there. Like this is like, I don't know. I feel like even say many, we'll say 3-4 years ago, like he would make sense to be the first commit in the class. And obviously he got an offer a little bit later. So that's why, you know, that wouldn't really be the case. But anyway, I just feel like this is when I look at Zoller's going elsewhere and we look at Zahir Mathis and, you know, I know Penn State kind of, I'm not saying they cooled on him, but they weren't as high on him at the end as maybe his ratings said. Like they've already lost on a couple top guys and Michael Carroll's not going to be easy to get either. Like this is one of those recruitments that they really have to get. I feel like if he goes anywhere else, it's a disappointment.
Fitz, what do you think?
I agree with Ryan there. You know, you're wary about the situation that maybe. So sometimes when things aren't as easy as they should be, that's when you kind of get worried. And I think with Olish, I don't think the worry is there because I still think Penn State's on top here. But like, as Ryan mentioned, this was one that if you look back at several recruitments and we talk about how logic dictates a lot of this stuff and history repeats itself. I mean, this is a situation where we see a lot of, you know, this is a Southern Lehigh kid. Like you don't see too many of those on the college football radar. So the in-state giant should, you know, be in the mix here. He went out and he sort of opened some eyes and there's a lot of, I don't want to say hangers on, but he caught a lot of offers as that waterfall started coming over the edge there.
Yeah.
And he's very talented and top 100 player on three and everything like that. But it's just one of those things where as word continued to get out, you know, the interest didn't really stop. Miami got two tight ends over the weekend and he was down there. They got two tight ends last week. He was down there over the weekend. So they kind of washed themselves out. So some of this will work itself out in the laundry, but at the same time, it's probably a little bit harder than it should be. And he's enjoying the process and we see different examples of that. You mentioned Michael Carroll, a little bit ago. I think Penn State's still in the lead, but you know, this one's a little bit tougher than we kind of earmarked it for even at the start of the spring. I mean, I actually, when I reached out to him about spring visits, was in the process of writing an RPM pick or recruiting prediction machine pick in favor of Penn State. And it's all of a sudden he's visiting Ohio State. He's visiting Alabama. He's visiting Florida State. He's visiting all over the place. And, you know, he's going to check out his options. So kind of tap the brakes on that one. So yes, it's probably a little bit more tough than we drew it up originally. Doesn't mean Penn State can't win. I think Penn State should continue to win. And it's one of those ones where you've got documented success at that position. He's an in-state kid. You know, like everything that you would sort of mock up in a guy to commit to Penn State kind of makes sense. Now wants to take more visits, wants to see those schools officially. And we're going to see how that goes. But this is one after he got offered that I'm surprised that we're talking about in April that hadn't gotten across the line yet.
Yeah. Let me add one more thing real quick.
Sure.
Like it's, if they lose on him, it's not the end of the world positionally. Obviously they're very talented at tight end. To me, it's more so like where does Penn State stand in 2024 modern day recruiting? Because this is one that we would have written in a long time ago. And yet here we are. It's not a lock. I think they're the favorite. Totally agree. And like I said, if they miss him, they'll be fine at tight end, which doesn't make it maybe the most important recruitment when you look at positions of need. But again, it's kind of one of those ones that, I mean, this would shock me more than Zoller's or some other guys for sure.
Yeah, and Michael McCullen puts in the chat here, cue the hand wringing, and I think it's fair, and I think it's fair what you just said, and I guess that's where I want to take the conversation. The similarities and differences with the Matt Zoller's conversation, because I think there is a lot of on-edge nervousness about, you guys mentioned Michael Carroll, like the perfect setup for all of these things of in-state prospects. But like in-state prospects that are good would indicate this is going to be a strong cycle for Penn State. You got a quarterback, you got an offensive lineman, you got a tight end that are all top 100 players. And it just does not feel settled. So I guess what are the differences with Zoller's and then these other players. And I know we've talked a little bit about this, but just for fans that are need to be reassured or reminded of this, of what are the differences here between those particular recruitments, Ryan?
So if there's one thing we learned from his from Zollers's press conference is that it's Zollers. Let's get that right. Do you remember his coach? He was like, everybody, all the media, so you know, it's Zollers. He was very firm with that. Well, I think, look, when you're a top three quarterback and, you know, from an NIL perspective, I think that's, let's start there because it, I think that that absolutely plays a role in how that kind of shaped up and ended up playing out. We'll see long term if that stays that way, but I don't see him as a kid who's going to bounce all over. So let's start there. I think it's just kind of familiarity too. I mean, like one thing Matt made very clear, Zollers made very clear from the beginning was like, he wasn't a Penn State fan growing up, doesn't have ties to the school. His brother goes to Pitt. Like I never got the sense that he's a college football guy, if that makes sense. Like he watches it, sure. But there's a lot of kids out there that they don't really pay attention to college football a whole lot until they get really, until they start getting recruited. Like, I don't think that's the case with Ilitch. Like, I'm pretty sure this guy's been going to games for a long time. Like I said, family members who graduated here, like there is just much more familiarity there. And again, go back to also the position thing, quarterback, Penn State's been, you know, meh, kind of at developing quarterbacks over the years. That's not the case at tight end. So there's a lot of ways we can keep going on and on about it. But to me, it's just, this is one that, man, if they didn't get him, it would send off alarm bells to me more than anything else.
Yeah. And I don't want to dive into too many of the negative potentialities and kind of catastrophize, but those feel like they are possibilities at this point, as opposed to what you guys have been talking about. So it's just, Fitz, any last thoughts here on this particular recruitment and where we are with Ilitch?
How different are they? One's a quarterback, one's a tight end. All respect due to my tight end brethren. Hey man, that's a different NIL wage scale, if you will. So that's going to change things in terms of how you can go after him. And there's schools that, you know, may have the arsenal to go after a tight end as if he was an elevated position prospect, but you know, tight ends aren't going to get the respect that they probably deserve, from a dollar aspect. And that's, you know, that's probably advantageous to Penn State here. I will say Penn State fans are sort of Charlie Brown going up to the football here, waiting for that ball to get yanked away. I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen, but I think that's Penn State fans on their toes right now, I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
Michael Carroll, that bothers me, or that would concern me if I'm a Penn State fan much more than Ilitch.
Interesting. This has come up a couple times this week, and we just didn't have time in the show to really acknowledge this, but Michael McCollum brings this up today. He says, might be late to the game, but anyone catch the shout out from Fit that Fitz got on Josh Pates's show recently? This is some good stuff. Yeah, I didn't catch it. So Fitz, what was the conversation?
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
listen. If somebody has 250,000 YouTube viewers, I don't care if they work for a different company. It's it's a national show, and it's pretty cool. So I missed the conversation.
T Frank, you even cut your hair to be like him. So
I did. Yes, modeling my entire game after.
Joke of the day.
No, Josh is a good friend. We worked together 24/7 for a long time, and good dude, just an absolutely good dude. I got a text when that came across, but always fun to be on there. I knew it was. We like to backhanded jab each other, so I'm not going to do that on this show. But no, Josh is great.
This in the chat from Chad Landers. He says the Ilitch top schools make me nervous. I know recruiting guys feel good about Penn State, but they are heavy hitters in there. Yeah, I think that pretty much sums up the conversation we just had, which is Penn State is in a fight, which you wouldn't have expected, but they seem to be in a good position, according to our guys here. So let's move on to something that I like to do for Penn State fans that are new to recruiting. I always like to make sure that we aren't talking up here all the time and that we kind of bring things in for everybody. So the recruiting calendar is a mystery. It is constantly changing. It's like a Rubik's Cube that doesn't have all the sides all filled out. Where are we in the cycle? And what do fans need to focus on as far as what type of news is going to be coming out at this time of the year, Ryan?
Yes, so we are entering the first contact period of April and May. Used to always be the spring evaluation period, we call it. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still an evaluation period. But there's a big change this year compared, and we saw this in January as well. Coaches can now communicate with 2025 prospects in person over this next, 6-week period or so. It began on April 15th. It'll go till May 25th. And coaches won't be out on the road every single day during that period. It's not like January where it's kind of condensed into 3 weeks and it's just rapid fire. They'll spread it out a little bit more among the staff. I forget how many allowable days it is, Sean. It's like 160 or something like that. Stops that you can make pretty much is what it goes down to. Or days on the road, I guess, is the best way to put it. But here's the big thing. So if it's a 2026 or 2027 prospect, Penn State can go watch them work out. They can go to a spring practice, watch the kid work out. If you're in Pennsylvania, you don't have spring practice, you can go watch them lift weights or, you know, 7-on-7 drills or whatever it may be. So they can still watch young guys. For 2025 specifically, though, they can communicate. They can have, what, hour-long conversation with parents, coaches, the player, however long it may be. And that's a big change from previous years. Now, because of that change, though, the other big change that happened was coaches used to be able to stop at schools twice. They can only do that once now. And that is going to make for a massive headache for recruiting staffs out there, because think about it like this. You have a school like McDonough that has a Jeff Exner and a Brandon Finney, two really important recruits to Penn State, guys they want to get. Well, they used to be able to say, okay, Terry Smith, you're going to go down here at the beginning or the end of April, and Marcus Higgins, you're going to go there in mid-May. And, you know, those are your two stops. Well, now you got to figure out a way for Marcus Higgins and Terry Smith to see all these other guys, but also make sure that they get together in Baltimore at the same time. And then think about all the other schools out there that have multiple recruits that you want to see at the same school. So that's a big headache that we've been hearing a lot about, is just kind of doing the scheduling and the planning around that and everything that'll come with it. But, you know, that's why Penn State has big support staffs. That's why you have 10 plus assistant coaches out there. And, you know, we'll see where things go. But the being a contact period and being able to communicate with guys at their schools is a new change this year that, again, we saw in January. We'll see it again over these next couple of weeks.
Fitz, what do you think the impact of that is going to be? Other than the scheduling part, do you think it's going to lead to anything different?
I don't think it leads to a ton different, but I will say that the scheduling part is important. I think they're going to start sort of like out west. And I know there's coaches in California today, like they're going to start further away and then sort of bring it back around as we get into closer to official visit season, as we get closer to sort of the time when more stuff will happen, I guess, as you can essentially say. So I think that sort of helps from a scheduling standpoint. You know, you don't have to worry about going to California every other week or something like that, as they may have used to do. So that helps. And it brings it a little bit closer to home. And as we know, Penn State more successful recruiting in that 6-hour radius. So be interesting to see how that schedule completely works out. But I think you sort of, you know, throw it long and then come back in as the time goes by.
And then finally, official visits coming up starting at the end of the month for most schools. This is where I think we talked about this in March, the official visit window. Fitz is laughing because I was like, yeah, it starts in 2 weeks, right? In May.
And steal May from us earlier today when he's like, we were talking about a show in 2 weeks, and he's like, well, that's just right on the verge of the first official visit weekend. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So he tried to take a month off the calendar and just sort of take it away from all of us. So
it's the beginning of the month instead of the end of the month. I just got confused at beginning or end. But official visits for Penn State start at the end of the month. Are we set? How much movement do you think there's going to be in terms of surprise ads, surprise subtractions? I know it's kind of an unknowable question, but how much of it is in the barn right now, and how much more work do they still have to do on getting their top targets to take official visits to Penn State during that window?
Most of those weekends are pretty well set. You will have guys that come off the board because they commit earlier in the cycle. I mean, we kind of structured it out for you a little bit. They start the weekend of May 31st, and then there's another weekend after that, which are basically all uncommitted prospects. I don't want to call them the important weekends, but those are the key weekends to look at. And then the weekend of the 14th, the commits will come in, but also some really, really important visitors the weekend of the 14th, guys that I don't want to say make sense with that group of committed guys, but the guys that Penn State coaches think that they can fit in and sort of push them over the line. I don't want to say that they're leading, but push them over the line or get them closer. And then the last weekend kind of gives you like flexibility. I know that's a busy weekend on the schedule right now. Last year, it was a fairly busy weekend on the schedule at this point as well. And I think they ended up with two or three visitors. Is that right, Ryan? So
yeah.
That weekend is sort of the flexible weekend. So you might see some guys bump up. We've seen a couple of guys that have bumped from that last weekend to one of those prior weekends. But the first three weekends in June, including that May 31st weekend, are the ones that we're looking at pretty hard, and they're pretty well set at this point.
And that's also considering Penn State comes into this particular time of the year with 12 commits. So, you know, who knows how many spots will be left by that final weekend and kind of using that maybe to their advantage of trying to push guys over the line earlier. So let's get into the conversation then about the spring game. You know, spring game happened this past weekend. Ryan, I know you've been working the phones, talking to people. Everyone likes to know what...
Kids don't use their phones anymore, T-Frank.
Well, they text, you know, working the phone also is DM, you know.
I'm old man. I sound like an old man right now. I know.
I don't use Twitter on my phone. I use Twitter on my computer, but you know.
Only you, Sean.
Do you pick up a phone when you get a call from a number that you don't have saved? Because that's a no-no for me.
Oh, right. I do.
That's
all the
why
time.
I always text them first, but they don't texting who I am, but they don't pick up for that either. So,
right.
Anyway, let's get into it. I would say, kind of like we were talking about last Thursday, I would say it was a little bit of a down list compared to some years. Last year, there was, I think, 8 4-star players who were uncommitted when they came to the blue-white game. If you remove the commits from this list, I mean, it ends up being, well, Nolan Davenport wasn't a 4-star. He is now because he's on 300, which we need to circle back on, by the way, to
yes,
Frank.
Thank
and then Randy Adarica, I believe it is, from Miami Central. He's a 4-star in the industry rating, but not by 1-3. So there's quite a few guys here that I think will move up and potentially be 4-stars down the road. But you know, when you're trying to look for star power and splashy names, and that's what fans want to see, right? You were missing a lot of those top regional guys that we've seen at so many other blue white games. You didn't have a Michael Carroll there, or an Olish, or Alex Cyrus, those kind of guys. Just you know, had other things going on, other visits. I think Cyrus said he was going 7-on-7 or something like that, Sean. But you know, just kind of a down weekend when it comes to a lot of the guys that can easily get there who are also top prospects. And that only means so much. Those guys will be back for official visits. A lot of those guys also visited for practices, which I would argue is in some ways more important than coming to the blue-white game, especially this year with the way the weather was, and certainly a down crowd, all those kind of things. So, I mean, it is what it is. I thought the 2026 group was probably the more, you know, talented as far as players who could really be kind of splashy names down the road. It was still well over 100 kids, all the things you want to see. But, you know, they were missing, outside of Emmanuel Iheanacho, obviously he's a 5-star at On3. And, you know, there's a couple other guys for 2026. We'll see where they end up. Right now are 4-stars. There really weren't too many of those like, oh, this is a massive prospect they have on campus.
Fitz, what did you think of the list?
I took something that Ryan said in that last little ramble there, and I think it's very important to note that they got a lot of kids on visit this spring, and you can get more information out of a personal visit, spring practice, when you're doing meetings, when you're talking to coaches and things like that. So that's good on that hand. On the other hand, you don't get the atmosphere, and that's what you are looking for at the blue-white game. So, you know, it'd be nice if you got the best of both worlds there, but that really didn't happen. So, yes, a underwhelming list, I would say, you know, given what they were up against at Ohio State and other schools that had spring games, not incredibly surprising, but still when you're comparing it to past lists, it didn't really hold up. So there's that. LeVar Arrington Jr. was back, or the second. I'm not sure which one he goes
second.
By. The second. Okay, he was back. He's a linebacker target for Penn State. I think we've updated his profile to indicate that he is not 175 pounds anymore.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 200. That's up there.
He's gotten
a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah, a little bit of a difference there. So it was, he was one of the marquee visitors. You mentioned Iheanacho, who is just, I mean, that's a really that's a kid. If you put him in the draft room in a couple of weeks, like, he would fit in. He is almost a Darius Mims size. And if you know a Darius Mims,
wow.
You know, he's 6'8", 340, and Nacho's close to 6'7", 340. There's going to be a lot of schools after this kid. But to get him on campus is good. He was scheduled to visit the prior weekend and then bumped it back and came to the blue-white game. So, again, there's good and bad with that. You'll see what happens. But to get him on campus is the main thing. So, I would say that's where we kind of leave that with the blue-white game. Jaden Lofton was there, defensive end from South Jersey. He has an official visit set up. And then Ryan mentioned that crew from Miami Central as well. So not devoid of talent, but yeah, it's just you're looking a little bit, you're kind of turning over rocks to try and find it a little bit more than usual.
So let's get into that on 300 list and talk about some of the updates. Ryan, I know you wrote about this on Monday. So what were the things that stood out to you about the latest on 300 for the 2025 class and some of the updates that we got from the national scouting staff and their decisions?
Yeah, of course, I accidentally just exited out of that story. Give me 1 second. I think the biggest thing is Penn State now has 5 4-star players in the on 300. You know, they came in with Alex Tash, DJ McClary, Lyric Samuel, and then of course getting Alvin Henderson. Those guys have all been firmly in the on 300 for a while. Owen Alessine, I don't think it's Alessine. I think he told me how to pronounce it, and I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, he joins now firmly inside the top 300 at number 212. I think, Sean, this has been a guy that you have mentioned, we've all kind of mentioned, as someone that felt kind of underrated. He hasn't played a lot of football, but in a lot of ways, that's a good thing. I mean, there's a ton of potential, a lot of growth to be had there. I mean, everything kind of physically and testing perspective, all those kind of information that we have stacks up pretty well. So I was pleased to see Charles make that move, because I thought that was a player that we were still kind of sleeping on a little bit. Now, there are other guys, uncommitted wise, Matthew Otten, that I think we're still kind of sleeping on too. But for right now, for this class and all those things, I think that was a big move for Penn State, and a player that was being absolutely overlooked. Was he an 89 or an 88?
Yeah, I believe it was 88 at one point.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's a quality jump there. The other couple of things I'd say is, if you look at those other top guys in Pennsylvania, Michael Carroll moves up 40 spots. He's in 5-star range now, number 27 in the country. You know, as I think we've explained this before, on three and most sites kind of progressively add 5-stars as you go throughout the year. You know, if he were to stay at 27, he would end up being a 5-star. We'll see. There's a long way to go that'll happen. But Olish moves up just a handful of spots, number 79 nationally. He stayed at the third ranked tight end in the country. And then Lex Cyrus moved up again as well, up 22 spots. To number 110 in the country. So those three kind of core Pennsylvania guys that we keep talking about continue to move up as you know, our scouts are able to evaluate others and compare what we know about those three to players across the country. So we got some big camps coming up in the region that'll play a big part in this. And I think the ratings then get updated. Is it after Elite 11? Somewhere, it's either late June, early July, somewhere in that ballpark. But for now, this is what we'll see, I think, for the next 2 months.
Yeah, Fitz, the thing that I always hear when we have these conversations, I put this up on the screen, is like, well, that brain dead scouting service has him as a 3-star. And so On3 just updated their rankings. The other services update theirs at different times. So these things, how much delta is there between the rankings once all the information is accumulated and everyone makes their decisions, or are there stark differences that you've seen?
No, I mean, it's a process. I mean, there's ever evaluating these guys. So I think you've seen guys that have, you know, I would hesitate to latch on to very early rankings. And I think we're coming out of very early rankings and we're just into regular early rankings at this point. There's a lot of camps that have happened in Florida and in the South right now. So you're going to see more movement naturally there. Under Armour in Jersey is on May 5th. Under Armour Baltimore is 2 weeks later, which is also the same day as
we're scheduling
Elite 11 and State College, which is I don't get it. But you're going to start to see, at least in this region, a little bit more into May and June. It's probably more so June than anything in terms of rankings.
Which is also why I noted that the Pennsylvania guys all moved up, because I expect to see Southern guys moving up in this ratings more than Northern guys. That's why I made that point. Also, we got to mention Malachi Goodman, too. He jumped into 4-star status now.
Finally.
Is he top 100? I couldn't remember, Sean. Where is he at? He was just outside the top 100.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 103. So another guy that kind of similar to Owen. Like, I mean, Goodman was one that's one for a long time that we thought was criminally underrated, and Owen too, Goodman especially.
So that actually leads us into the next conversation I wanted to have, and try to put things into buckets and make themes out of the stuff that's been coming out, and it doesn't always work this way, because you know there are things that just happen at certain times, but it feels like there's some new offensive line targets. You just mentioned Malachi Goodman, Penn State's top targets, Michael Carroll. They're all still there, but it seems like there are new offensive line targets coming into focus after spring football. Some of those guys that you talked to, Ryan. So I just wanted to start with Nolan Davenport. What was your impression of him, and what's your feel for the relationship there with the latest Nittany Lion offensive line prospect?
Yeah, I mean, Davenport's really the only one I'd say is new. 2025 wise. I mean, it's very clear to read their offensive line board right now. They want Zaire Addison, Michael Carroll, Malachi Goodman. Like, those are the three guys that they are going to push incredibly hard for. Would love to get one, two. I mean, they love to get all three. It's not going to happen, but those three absolutely stand out the most. I think all three of them are going to be tough to land though, to some degree as well. And that's why Nolan Davenport stands out. He just got an offer from Penn State a couple weeks ago. During a practice visit, comes back for the blue white game. So what, two visits in, you know, 2 week span, something like that. That always grabs my attention. Right now he has official visits with Michigan State and Missouri. Absolutely. You know, he wants to take an official visit to Penn State. I think they got to figure out the calendar when it fits in best, but this is a player that I think Penn State can land. And now, of course, he just jumped into four-star status as well during this pass rating. So we'll see. It's I think Trout has a tough balancing act there, because if you look at Davenport's schedule and you look at where you look at, long story short, Michigan State is June 14th, Missouri is June 21. Well, if those other three are higher on the board, which we know they are, well, the unfortunate thing for Trout is two of them are visiting on June 14th. So in an ideal world, you'd get those other three on campus first, kind of feel that situation out, and then try and get a visit with Davenport, you know, if you're not feeling too good. But he's not going to have that luxury. So they got to sort this out here in the coming weeks before Davenport either sets up his visits or, you know, whatever may happen. So I think he's absolutely going to be a player that I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in this class long-term, honestly, because I don't feel great about the other three, and he's absolutely that guy on the bubble. And I do feel like four visits now over the past year, you know, especially back-to-back kind of weeks there, he's really intrigued with Penn State. It's clear.
You also mentioned Missouri, teams running this wide zone scheme, competing for similar players. I think he's a good fit for Penn State from a schematics perspective at tackle. Fitz, do you have any thoughts on Davenport, or do you want to move on to Carter Scruggs, who I know is a 2026 guy, but has seems to be developing a relationship with Penn State, and I know he's a pretty high target in the next cycle?
Yeah, Scruggs has been on campus a couple times now. Davenport, I just agree with Ryan. I think it's really interesting. He keeps coming back to campus, and that's usually an earmark of guys that end up in the class. 272 overall is, he's certainly a project, which most offensive line prospects are, but size checks out. He's pretty athletic there, so I'm curious to see him. Scruggs is a guy in Virginia, and Penn State's gotten, I don't want to say gotten away from Virginia in the last couple of cycles, but definitely hasn't been the presence there that they've been in the past. It's been up and down with the talent. A lot of that talent has been down in Tidewater area, so a little bit of a longer drive there. So we'll see what happens in Penn State's approach in the 2026 class, but Scruggs, one of those guys that they've paid a lot of attention to already. There's a question in the chat about Lyric Samuel, and I think that's probably one that we overlooked a little bit when going through the top, the on 300, excuse me. He's number 181 right now. And that's good to see. Penn State, of course, Penn State fans always looking for news on receivers. To see him bumped up is good. Guy ran a 4.56 at 6.35. That doesn't happen very often. So he's got some athletic base to work with, and he continues to get better. Still raw as a prospect, as we would expect for a New York City-ish wide receiver. But he's going to continue to develop. I do expect to see him at camp. I mean, he camped two or three times last summer. I think one was including a team camp. I don't think it's going to be an issue to get him back to work with Marcus Haggins in the passing game this summer. So I will say the thing, the follow-up was, if his numbers match up, he's top 100 easy. They already have the numbers, and they match up pretty well. It's not a situation where they're going to get updated. I mean, I don't see this
unless he runs like a 4.39, suddenly like he's way faster.
I think it's more about competition
Six at 6.35. Like that's awesome. Yeah. That's special. Like that's different. I know we kind of scoff at a 4.5 these days because we're dumb, but it's really a really good combination of size and speed. It's about learning how to move at that size and learning how to move at the size that he eventually will be, that that's going to determine where he lands.
Robert, and the one thing I'll add is like, okay, he's a 24th ranked wide receiver in the country right now. Well, a lot of the guys ahead of him are just flat out playing better competition, and that makes it easier when you also have the numbers to relate to kind of rank them a little bit higher. Because New York, Erasmus, a great program. You know, there's talent there, but
they
got
to be able to throw the football next year. Like, it's not just him. Like, if we're talking about you want to see on-field production, you want to see more from him on a tape side when you've got the numbers. They need to find it. They need to be able to get him the football in a bunch of different ways so he can even show off these skills, which was, I think, was a major problem on his film last year.
Yeah, his camp performances are a big reason why he's ranked where he is, no doubt.
Yeah. So, Ryan, I want to come back to you. Jaden Lofton, you spoke with him. Just one of the interviews people can check out at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. You've talked to a lot of prospects. I just wanted to highlight this one. Defensive end prospect. What was your conversation like with Jaden Lofton? What were your major takeaways?
Another guy that I think really likes Penn State, and Penn State will have a few other guys ahead of him on the board. DN's kind of important this year. The further we get into this cycle, and we kind of get a better feel for how important is D tackle compared to DN. If you look at their official visit list, it's very clear. I mean, they have quite a few edge rushers coming in and only a handful of tackles. So right now I'd have a couple other ends ahead of him on the board, but at the same time, like, this is another guy who visited twice in a 10-day span, something like that. You know, got the offer, I think, at the end of February and attended a game. I think it was the game against Rutgers. So been on campus three times in the last 5 months or so. Will take an official visit at the end of June. And a guy that I think really likes Penn State. So it really is going to probably come down to more so how they hit on a Max Granville, a Jalen Woods. You know, some of those guys I think are higher on the board. But when you look at his official visit list, you know, West Virginia, Tennessee, Minnesota, Tennessee absolutely has his attention too. I would say Tennessee feels like their top competitor right now, but, you know, I think also Penn State and Tennessee probably have a couple guys higher on the board, and that's going to really determine where he's at here when we get to like mid-June or so.
Fitz, what are you, just zooming out a little bit, the defensive end board, Ryan kind of laid some of those things out. I haven't checked in on this one in a while. How are you feeling about that particular group and Penn State's opportunity to land a guy that can be the next, you know, Jameel Lyons, the next Denai Dennis Sutton, the guy in waiting that they have done a great job of making sure they're stacking talent so there's not really a dip in the talent level at the position?
Yeah, it's interesting because Penn State's been so successful at defensive end. I mean, they got two guys that are going to go in the top, we'll just conservatively say top three rounds in this draft. You've got Denai, you've got so many things that are working in their way. So the problem is the region is not great in terms of defensive line as a whole, defensive end especially. So they're going to have to go national. So a guy like Max Granville is important to them, even though that's going to be a tough pull out of Texas. So you're looking
nationally. We're developing a theme on this show. A lot of tough pulls this year.
You're looking at the region, and it's just, first off, the edge class as a whole is not great nationally. Then you know, zoom in the microscope to the Northeast, and it's not great either. So you've already lost a couple of guys, already Watford, Zion,
Mathis,
out of Imhotep. So that's kind of where you're at with that. So you're expanding the board, trying to get as much interest as you can. There's some guys in the Midwest that they're after as well. But it's tough, and it doesn't make a ton of sense when you take into account Penn State's about to have two defensive ends drafted. They've got a young coach that, you know, recruits really seem to like. But it's been tougher sledding than it should be. And of course, only took Jalen Harvey last year. So that's going to be a spot where they maybe take three guys this year.
Last thing that I have on the rundown today is, again, something, Ryan, you wrote about and we've been talking about. Surprised that they have three running backs in the class of 2025. Could they have more?
Could they have more? Four?
Yeah.
No way. Four ain't happening. something would change. I honestly think if they added another, like, would Keandre Barker and some of those guys want to still be in the class even? I mean, I don't know. That would make me think if I'm one of those guys. But no, look, they like all three. I don't see them trying to make moves and you know, push anybody out or anything like that. I feel pretty confident that Keandre and Tyke are both pretty safe. I think Henderson was just somebody that Sliders coveted for a long time. I mean, that offer came, what, like 2 years ago, I want to say. It's been a long time, and they just couldn't get him on campus. Finally able to do that. Now, again, the big thing is, will that commitment stick? Because he wants to take those official visits. And I think that there will be probably work to be done down the road to keep Alvin Henderson in that class. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Bo Jackson's still out there. Jabri Wallace Coleman, they like both of those guys, and both are still scheduled to take official visits too. I found it interesting that Jabri Wallace Coleman ended up at North Carolina this weekend, which we never know anything about Jabri Wallace Coleman's recruitment. And then like, oh, it popped up on Twitter. That's just interesting timing for that one. Yeah. But I don't know. I definitely don't see more than three. But if they do host those guys for visits, and for some reason, you know, those guys are interested in joining a class that has three running backs already, yeah, the staff might be in a tough spot there, especially Fitz. Bo Jackson. Go ahead.
Yeah, Fitz, I just find it interesting. This is more of just a comment and an observation. I was wondering if you have any thoughts on this. It just seems like in a year where there are all of these conversations about all these different positions, Penn State seems to be feasting on running backs. They seems like they have the guys that they want, and they can get them at the times that they want. They worked early, very early, and now somewhat early. Any rhyme or reason to that? Anything you find interesting about that particular conversation of this year? It seems like they can get whatever running back they want as opposed to other positions.
Yeah, take what you can get, and you've got a window at running back where you can sell that two guys are going to leave after this year, and that's what they're doing right now. You know, so sort of get in that window while you can. I know Quentin Martin looked pretty good in the spring game, but that's still going to be an open competition, assuming that Nick Singleton and Catron Allen move on after this year.
So that's what I got, guys. Anything you are thinking about? Anything on the docket that you want to talk about? Or what's coming up for you guys this week at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, Fitz?
Not really. It's been it's sort of a down week after that Blue-White game. They're going to get it back into camp season, as mentioned. Next Sunday is the Under Armour. May 5th is the Under Armour camp. So get back into that, sort of reset their bearings. Coaches went on the road yesterday, and they will start visiting schools today. That's always an interesting sort of follow, more so than trying to parse any information out of it. But some good things come out of the spring evaluation period.
Ryan, what about you?
I think we'll see offers. You know, there was three offers last night. I think Trout Wang handed out. I mean, they're certainly going to go out and scout younger prospects. So you'll be looking for offers here in the coming weeks. You know, aside from that, should be kind of quiet. I mean, I do think we are going to see guys trickle on campus over these coming weeks. Like I was looking at today, and I got to dig on this. This is just me speculating, but like a guy like Michael Carroll, they need to get him on campus before official visits. His last visit was in January. They're going to go 5 months without getting a legacy Pennsylvania prospect on campus between that, you know, his last visit and his official visit. So just guys like that. Like I wouldn't be shocked at all if we see a couple guys trickle in one weekend or another weekend. I don't think it'll be this weekend, but you know, there's still what, 4 or 5 weeks to go until official visits start. So keeping an eye on that, trying to make sure guys don't slip through the cracks. And you know, outside of that, it should be pretty somewhat quiet, you know, just from a commitment perspective, those kind of things. All these guys are just kind of waiting to get to May 31st and get the ball rolling on what will be a really fun month for fans to follow, a hectic month for us to follow. But it's, you know, that's where you bread your butter, or you butter your bread. Damn, I said it backwards. You butter your bread these days with those official visits. It really is kind of a all in, you know, rapid fire 6 week stretch there.
I find that it matters how much you like butter. Depending on whether you're buttering your bread or breading your butter. Z-Man says, portal news updates. Well, that's a great time to remind you that this is just a fraction of what we're talking about. Over at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, Z-Man, sign up for 2 months. You get it for $1. Promo code PSU1. It's portal season. We have information on Penn State. You can go find it there on the Blue White Illustrated message board and in our premium content article. So check that out, Z-Man. We want you to be part of our family and to be having this conversation with us more and more often over on the message board. So you can get all that information because you're coming from the podcast, whether you listen to us on the radio, whether you hear us on a podcast or here on the YouTube channel, we want to give you the opportunity to try out Blue White Illustrated for a little bit longer than anybody else who just gets the promo that's $1 for a month. You get 2 months, see if you really like it, and then you can decide if you want to subscribe or not. Guys, thank you so much for all your information, all the content, all the conversation about Penn State football recruiting. We will be back next week again with our new lineup. So make sure you're checking out at Thomas Frank Carr on Twitter, the Blue White Illustrated Twitter account, and BlueWhiteIllustrated.com for that information. And we will talk to you then.